Good. So please find a comfortable seat. And again, for those who are here for the introduction to meditation class, there's no introduction class today, fifth Saturday. So we'll be starting again next Saturday, but you're welcome again to find a comfortable place to sit and see what happens here. And many of you will understand that today I have a cold, and nevertheless, that never stops you from being able to meditate, being able to start to go inside your body, inside the mind, in order to sort of do your own little bit of healing. And this is something which I always want to share with people, just how, just because you don't feel 100%, just because you may be getting old, even if you're on your deathbed. Nevertheless, by the way, I'm not on my deathbed, a long way from it. But when that actually being in bed is the most dangerous place. People say that the most more people die in Western Australia falling out of bed than they do of shark attacks, which is one of the reasons I sleep on the floor. It's a much safer place to sleep. But anyway, back to being serious, sort of, that when you are a little bit sick or ill, I just even naturally, even when I was a young meditator, just close your eyes and just go inside and just understand how it feels. Not to try and overcome or defeat or fight, but really get to know the feelings in the body. Because once you get to know the feelings of the body, you go inside those feelings of the body. You zoom in on it. Of course, the natural response is to find a place where you can't experience that tiredness, that heaviness, that discomfort. But to me, that fighting, or rather trying to escape, just makes it worse. So I always like to just go inside and be with things, instead of trying to find a place where they're not. I know that sometimes people say, oh, just this spirituality, meditation, or being a monk is just escaping from the real world. And actually, it's not an escape. It's actually going inside of it, get to know it. And that's where you find the escape. Not by going somewhere else, but going where you are, deep inside, and there to find exactly what's going on. And with that understanding and that knowledge of how your body works, how this mind works, it's pretty simple. Just to be able to have a sickness and just be with it, and it doesn't tend to last that long. But one thing, please, if ever you do see me cough or sneeze sitting here, please don't give me any medicines, because it happens once. You're all very kind and caring. What happened once when I really sneezed, and I did make that announcement, that afterwards people lined up all these different bottles of medicines, which they said was really important and it helped them. And I literally had so many medications, and out of kindness I took some of each, and then I was really sick. So as monks we're well looked after. So, you know, we have a big medicine cabinet if we need anything. But anyhow, just learning how to be and understand. Sometimes it's an opportunity for me to understand my body. And even just a few minutes ago, just noticed, if ever I get even, especially with this stage of a cough, even the slightest bit of excitement, and I start coughing. Very peaceful. And then there's no irritation at all. You can actually see just how the mind creates this little bit of tension, and that little bit of tension sets off a little chain reaction where the irritation gets a lot worse. So sometimes it's wonderful not to actually to take medication. And not always, I get in trouble, peace, venerable. Not always, but sometimes so that one can learn how to be really, really peaceful and get to understand things. And the type of meditation which you teach every day is what you do all the time. Same type of meditation, being with your body and relaxing it. And it's not just relaxing your body, it's also relaxing your mind as well. And sometimes, surprising, even say, relax your body. Remember sometimes giving some counseling to a few people, say, relax your body. And they were honest enough to tell me, I don't know how to relax the body. You may be taught in a gym class when you're young to actually to strive and to go for it, to do exercises, but to relax? Has anyone taught you how to relax your body? And how to relax the body? To relax the body, to relax the mind. That is something which is a skill which we all need. To be able to relax the body, we've got to know the body first of all. Really get to know it so well, and that's the job of mindfulness. Just being aware. And as we're investigating our body, being aware of it, we find that we learn just what makes the body more tense. What takes away the relaxation? And what makes it so sharp that, you know, in my condition, I'll have a little cough. So, when we learn how to relax the body, we can have some incredible, wonderful results. We feel the body, the aches, the pains, all tend to vanish. When the body relaxes, we also find, I never sort of studied Chinese medicine or Indian medicine, but I was always fascinated in the Indian type of medicine, where they said there was winds flowing through the body. And when any of those pathway to the winds going through the body get blocked, that's where one has sicknesses. And so the job, even as a meditator, as a Cambridge-trained meditator, is to allow those blockages to open up and to flow. In other words, nothing is stopped, everything is opened and free. So that idea of opening up the body, and sometimes you can feel that. You can feel there's a blockage there, a tightness, and you open it. Instead of, usually out of fear, we close off, we scrunch up whenever we're afraid. But when we have some confidence, we open up, and then things flow through the body. And I find, I find that's usually when healing happens. And sometimes that healing is not what you do, but what you experience when you are relaxed. And sometimes when you are meditating, it does happen that, you know, you're very peaceful, having a wonderful time, but then you feel hot spots in the body. And the hot spots in the body is, you know, from all that I've seen and heard and experienced, those are when... Very good. Never mind. Isn't it, whenever it goes off like that, we can't find the right button because we get too tight. Yes. Okay, yes. Great. Yeah, okay. But whenever we relax, then we find that things flow through the body. And hot spots are just almost like an accumulation of energy. The body knows that it has to heal a particular part. And the energies of the body, the winds or the chi, whatever you wish to call it, tend to accumulate at that point. And you feel warm. And people who have those hot spots in their body, always the real ones, is when you are reasonably peaceful in meditation. Your body's relaxed. You're in this moment just about. And these things happen, and you always feel just so relaxed afterwards. So much so that if we have like a hot pack on our body, you know, just to try and get some healing. But the real natural heat, stimulating the energies of the body to heal themselves, is far, far more effective. So if you feel any hot spots in any part of your body during the meditation at that time, it's wonderful, a healing is happening. But even more than that, sometimes I don't know how exactly the body works, but I do know that if you give it the opportunity to heal itself, it's amazing what it will do. And sometimes their arms lift up, and sometimes you wonder, what the heck's up? It's only when you're in very deep meditation, why did that happen? And all of this is some sort of energy being released. Sometimes that people twist around, and when they twist around, all that is too, it's usually the case, all the times I've witnessed this. I've been teaching meditation over 40 years. Actually, if you take the time when I was sort of teaching, when I was a school teacher, well, 50 years now probably. But anyway, that as you relax, sometimes the body twists around, often because people have had sports injuries or car accidents, whiplash, and then the body twists around to allow these channels of energy to open up and healing to happen. Seen this so many times. So when those things happen, it's just the body learning how to do the job itself. But if you get in the way, you interfere, that is when you spoil the body's natural ability to heal. But anyway, once the body is relaxed, you get to know it, and little by little you notice these effects occur. They may not be planned, unexpected. Even you may not have realized there was a problem in that part of your body. But the body knows before you ever will, and something happens. And you just witness it as the observer, the silent watcher, someone who can know without disturbing the whole process. And sometimes I'm trying hard to find similes, just like a detective, like a spy, who can follow someone and they don't know that they're being followed. Just your mindfulness is like that spy. You're following this body, you're following the mind, but without sort of them interfering with the natural course of the body and the natural flow of mental stuff. And that way, when you can watch without interfering, it's amazing what you can find out about the nature of your body and the nature of your mind. When you do things like that, it's easy to relax the body and also to relax your mind. So that when the mind becomes more relaxed, you can feel just how to heal the mind, not just heal the body. And heal the mind of some of the trauma of the past, the bad memories of the past, which tend to sort of make us look at the future in a negative way. We've been wounded in the past, and we overprotect that part of our mind in the future. It's called fear, anxiety. Little by little, when we understand the past, we heal the past, then the anxiety of the future is also transcended. It vanishes. So this is how we learn, by being a silent observer, someone who watches without being seen, to be a watcher. See if you can understand that. So, now we can start our meditation, and I can be nice and quiet, and instead of talking, I can actually do the meditation as well. So if you'd like to get into the meditation posture, if you're not already in it, then it's quite okay to meditate on a chair. Or, that's one of the best postures over there. Unless she's asleep. It's just sitting against the walls. Give you a nice backrest and out of sight. Anyway. So, now, if we can sit down, close our eyes, and get ready for the meditation. And that's my anapanasati, breathing in, breathing out, let go. So don't do that. So, with our eyes closed, we become aware of our body. At first, with no will to to change anything, just to know, to gather information, a silent observer, just knowing. Knowing how you feel. But trying to avoid the judgmental mind, which says good, bad, comfort, uncomfortable, painful. Just to know, first of all. Just a non-judgmental mindfulness. Once we gather the information about how our body feels, in the gathering, in the mindfulness, we notice just how the way we look with our mind on our body affects the body. Every time we have any fear, the body tenses. In excitement, tightens the muscles. Every time we go off into the past, sometimes if it's a pleasant memory, it could be an escape. But soon we have to come back, find out what's going on while we've been away. And even the future, be careful. Because if you go off into the fantasies of the future, you're neglecting the health which you can only gain in the present moment. Now is where your future is being made. Now is the only time you have. So getting to know my body as it is now. I go through a little relaxation method, scheduling if you like, starting with my feet. If I don't go through these parts methodically, I tend to miss too many. Assuming that all is right in the feet, when I could have been a little bit more careful. So I just check on my feet. If they are comfortable, fine. I move up to my calves. Feeling them. Just even the experience of any physical sensations in the calves. Just staying with those. Naturally, there's a relaxation happening. I can experience them getting looser, not being pulled apart, which is the way I view stress. String pulled on both ends. I let go of both ends. And the stress is relieved. Imagine feeling the knees. Imagine them just on soft cushions. So there's no tightness, nothing being pulled or squashed anywhere in my knees. My thighs. Huge muscles, feeling like a throb. Sometimes it's hard to find names for the experiences in parts of your body. You don't need to, just know the feeling. Experiencing it, relaxing, loosening, feeling more free, more open. What I can recognize is common to all types of stress, pulling apart, a squashing, a forcing, a pushing and a pulling, all of that I can see disappearing, little by little. It's my thighs. I can feel them relaxing. I really get to know what relaxation is. Same with my butt, sitting on the cushion, relaxing it. Right now I can feel again the throb of the blood going through. Just relaxing everything. Making peace. The feeling of safety. Of even joy. The joy of peace. I move up my body, my waist, I can feel its sensations around the waist and inside. And any time I feel there's a tightness, I learn how to loosen. Just even my mind interacting with my body without fear, without control. I trust my body. It knows how to be healthy. It's only when I get in the way and mess things up that you get sick or tight. I go up my body, between my chest and my waist. Feel, experience, and let go. And all the while as I scan my attention up my body, I'm willing to pause however long it takes. If I feel any place which is tight, which is achy, I pause and let my even attention and my kindness do its work of loosening, taking off pressure, of unsquashing things. So that part of the body is loose and light. And I've passed my chest. find a bit of a tightness in my lung. All that coughing. Thought it was in my throat, but it's a few inches down. So I'll stay there for a while. When you put your attention to a place, some healing happens. You can carry on and go up to your neck, and to your shoulders. Loosening as you go. Down your arms and elbows and hands. Feeling, experiencing, relaxing. And once you've finished with your hands, whatever position it happened to be, as long as they are at ease, that's fine. Go back up to your shoulders and neck and throat. Aware. Relaxing. Making peace. Being kind. Always in the moment. Letting go of the past. Not rushing forward into the future, but just being here. Being aware and being kind. Up to your face. Relaxing all the muscles around the eyes and the mouth. Even though my irritation is still in my throat and the top part of my lungs. Just relaxing my face helps relax the irritation in my throat. Because the muscles around the eyes and the mouth are a sign of the tension or the fear, the tightness in the body. Once my face is relaxed, I just go this couple of inches behind to my brain. All that hard work, decisions and stuff which my brain has had to perform. It's tired. So I imagine taking my brain away, however I imagine it to be, and putting it into a little bed, tucking it in, and giving it a rest. Just imagining that is a way to lessen all that neural excess activity, to get your brain to have a break, a rest, some peace. So you don't need to think so much. And I just look at my whole body sitting here. And that she feels relaxed. And out of many years' experience, you know what relaxation is. It's not just a word anymore. It feels so beautiful. A body at ease, even though there's a little irritation in the center. It's my little cough, but it's fine. Stay there if you wish, or you can go on to your mind. Peaceometer. How peaceful are you? How irritated? That's part of your mind, not your body. See if you can give it a number of 1 to 10. 1 is peaceful, 10 is agitated. Even if you just imagine a little meter with a needle in the center, goes up and down like a thermometer or speedometer. Imagine just what you need to move that needle down closer to what? What makes you peaceful? What relaxes your mind? If the breath does come up, just breathing in peace without let go. And see if you can watch the breath without interfering. I will be quiet now until the end of the meditation. It's getting close to the end of the meditation now. I will now ring the gong 3 times. Once the gong has finished sounding for the 3rd time, it's a signal to come out from your meditation. Okay, so now we have some questions. The first from Texas, why the process of meditation is good for liberation? I'm not sure where you are in Texas, but if you happen to be in prison, meditation can teach you how to fly over walls, and that's one way to get liberated. Ho ho. But the liberation is not something which is physical on the outside. It's always something which is emotional on the inside, to be free. And part of that freedom is wanting to be here. I said in another talk, another time, the definition of a prison is any place you don't want to be. Even if it might be in a 5-star hotel, but you don't want to be there, you want to be back home somewhere, that is a prison for you. But if you're in a place where you want to be, at ease with this moment, then you are free. So liberation, freedom, part of that is being content to be here. For me, to be content with a cough, being content to be in maybe a noisy place, being content. If you're content to be here, then you're free. I have heard, another from USA, the Venerable encourages more effort towards monastic than lay meditators in practice. Why are these seemingly antipodal approaches both effective towards deep meditation and beyond? Is it the devotion commitment? Not quite sure what you mean there. Encourages more effort towards monastics than lay meditators in practice. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that question means. More effort. A lot of times that I try and encourage, not the effort, which the effort is to look for something in the future and strive towards it, but more to more to be in this moment, more to actually be here, and more to actually to go inside this moment rather than try and get rid of this moment and go somewhere else. So all that striving and all of those goals and all of that so-called effort, that tends to actually to keep going on and on and on and on and never reaching any sense of peace or stillness. But imagine the effort stopping. Imagine the running sort of halting. Imagine just instead of going somewhere, we are stopping and being here. And then the effort of stopping, of just being, takes you in a different direction. Instead of taking you out somewhere, you go inside. And if one goes more and more inside, then you move away from the world. And that's more like a monastic. So, I don't know what the question means, devotion, commitment. It's a commitment. It's happy to be here, and commitment to going inside. Lastly, from Canada, during meditation, whenever my senses start to fade and the mind goes silent, my mind jolts awake, agitating my mind and body running the process. How does one overcome this? It is like my body is stimulating death, but my soul doesn't want to die, so it ruins the process. I think what is happening there, your senses start to fade, your mind goes silent, your mind jolts awake, agitating your mind and body, ruining the process. Sometimes that there could be a bit of fear coming up, as you were saying. In other words, going very deep into silence, going very deep into stillness, going very deep, it's again the old simile of when you are in a prison and you're about to be released. You don't want to be released because it's too scary. And because of that, sometimes one does something to keep yourself in jail for a few more days. There was the story of, because just down the road from the prison is Karna Prison Farm, and there was one fellow there, he was about to be released, and he was in the car with his friend, and he got to just, was it 6 kilometres down the road where Bodhinyana Monastery was, and they were just doing some road works there. So the fellow had the stop sign, you know the stop sign they have there? And the fellow, the traffic controller, had a stop sign right outside the gate of our monastery, and the gentleman which was in the car, just being paroled from jail, sort of got so upset at something as simple as that, being a stop sign, that he got outside the car, he jumped out, and he punched the traffic controller. And so he was put back in the car, straight back to the prison. He'd violated parole. I think that was one of the shortest paroles ever recorded in West Australian justice. I don't know, did he do that because he was just an angry person? Or who knows? Maybe it was because he didn't want to be paroled. Maybe he liked. A bit scary on the outside. But certainly that's very true when it gets to letting go. Sometimes we can let go so deeply that we think, oh, this is too scary. But don't worry, because the next time one will go deeper into silence, and then deeper and deeper and deeper, simply because it is very alluring, say, to freedom. It doesn't matter how long it takes, someday once you have a taste of freedom, a smell of it, it will draw you back again, and deeper and deeper and deeper. Little by little, one will go deeper and deeper into stillness, into letting go, into peace, into silence, and you can't really stop it. So it's just a matter of time. Okay, so any questions from the audience here, from the chairs? I used to say from the floor, but most people are actually sitting on chairs. From the cushions, from the stools, from anywhere. going. Coughed, gone. Okay, so let's now pay respects and we can go and do what we need to do. And don't worry about the cough. That's one of my favorite sayings. It's not the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin they carry you off in. And I've got no plans of going in any coffins anytime soon. It's a little irritation. Oops. Thank you.
my dog.
Very good.